You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good UFC fight coming up this weekend. I mean, we say that every weekend. Dana White, the idea of supply and demand, he works the opposite way. He will fire up the supply.
Well, how
you the UFC were vaccines, everyone would be like, coronavirus would be dead.
You would know how big is the demand to see UFC all the time.
I mean, I'm a firm believer in, look, boxing killed itself because they stopped putting together the best fights, and that's because it was, you know, it was run by like three different, they had multiple belts. They had three different, WBC was the only one that was really recognized, and you had IBF, and you had WBO, and then you had, you know, the promoters, the different promoters that wouldn't match their fighters up against other fighters, and then fighters who wouldn't, it was too hard to negotiate fights. And what happened was, and this is where, you know, I know we talk a lot about basketball has, they've taken over the league and all this and that, but really, I do look at the history of one of the things I am concerned about is there needs to be a healthy balance between respect for the players, fighters, whatever, and then respect for the golden goose that you have. You have to have a respect between both because one provides the other. And without one, there is no other. Without the players and respecting the players and taking care of their health and all that stuff, there is no product. But without the product, there is no millions of dollars and all that. So there really does need to be a healthy respect. If there is a working respect between the two sides, you can have a thriving industry. Boxing got taken over and run over by individual fighters, and more importantly, at one point, the promoters. And so you would get a fighter would fight one time in a year. If you were lucky, he'd fight one time a year. And boxing stopped matching their best fight. It was hard to get a matchup. But when you got it, you were just over the moon about getting it. But now the fights get made a lot faster when they realize they can make money. Like once you can get a second fight made, a third fight made, you can do that. In the UFC, that's not a problem because Dana White, because it is a monopoly, Dana White is able to, now it's not always great for the fighters. I'll say that, and I think there are things that probably need to be done in a fight game to help from an insurance standpoint and all kinds of things. But from a fan standpoint, the entity is the biggest deal, so you get the best fights. Like, fighters fight. They fight each other. No one. You may have some people ducking. We've started to see some. Conor McGregor did it some. John Bones Jones has done it some, where the fighters will, in some ways, are a little bigger for a while than the sport, but eventually somebody else comes up and the sport's going to go on without you. Boxing's tougher because boxing had fewer superstars, and there were fewer, you know, boxing superstars coming up. There are more UFC fighters coming in. There are more UFC fighters. There's more. I remember when it started, you didn't see many African-American. If they had a wrestling background, you might see him, Kevin Randall type. And you might see that, but I mean, not Randall, Kevin Randall, it's Randleman. But now it's much more diverse. I mean, the UFC has, because younger people are coming up, and this is their sport of choice for a lot of kids by age 11, 12. People coming from basketball, from football, different sports are now going into the UFC when their high school and college days are done. So we're getting a much more explosive, diverse sport. But at the same time, I'm not stupid. I mean, if you do this every single week, the high supply side lowers and lessers the demand. And as somebody who used to get all the fights, you know, I've stopped getting all the fights. I only get the fights that I really, really want to see now because it's just too many. And it's too expensive to always have to catch a pay-per-view. It's just too expensive. But they do put some free fights on as well. But, I mean, they're about making the money. And so, you know, at some point I do wonder if that oversaturation is going to hurt the UFC, but it hasn't so far.
So if you have a side chick and your wife is not interested in the UFC, this is an opportunity to entertain her. And I bring that up because not only do we have, going into the break, an opportunity for you to either, you know, delight your wife or your side chick with something from one of our good friends, Mark Klein, we also have in the next segment something new here.
The 30 segment, right?
And, yeah, excuse me, the 30 segment. So this whole, the next half hour will be, I guess, a lead up to this. But we're going to have Freaky Deaky on. Because
Freaky Deaky calls every year. Yeah. Side Chick Day, he gives you the rules of the game. Once again, I don't condone this.
No.
But it happens every year. Show. It is an informative show. And so he tells you what the rules of the game are for the side chicks. And this year, he's going to talk about the cold weather over the weekend. How does that affect it?
There'll be snow.
How does
Monday.
COVID affect it?
And also, for the first time ever, we're going to have a rebuttal from a, let's just say this person doesn't consider themselves a side chick, but for too long, the side chick has been silenced. Mm-hmm. On this show, it's been simply a monologue from Freaky Deaky.
Yeah.
We're going to actually have some dialogue.
Well, we're going to let him have his monologue, and then there will be a healthy rebuttal and potential
maybe
debate.
A debate. So that'll come up with a
potential debate.
Someone who is experienced in the game, maybe not as much as Freaky Deaky. He's older. He's been doing it for a while. But this person knows the game as well.
Yeah. That's going to be at 8:30. And this is one of the it's one of the more interesting segments we have all year. I'd put it at number one, if I'm being honest.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, Freaky Deaky is just, once again, that's one the kids probably don't want to listen to. If you're homeschooling, you might not, and because you do get a lot of information from me and John on a normal basis, so it's important for homeschoolers to tune in and get some culture from us.
You think you provide culture?
Culture and sports information, yeah.
Hmm. So when John says "tis nitty," is that a cultural thing he's providing to the kids?
Says what?
"Tis nitty."
See, no, that's...
Is that a thing?
He's doing it for the culture. I just don't know what culture.
So do the kids get
when he says the phrase "tis nitty,"
do the kids...
Which always makes me say...
In?
I don't know why I couldn't say... and you're not in there, so I couldn't
I
say...
I guess you can't say it.
Cooch? Coochie,
I don't
whatever.
Like it when he says it.
Yeah, but I don't like it when John says "tis nitty."
Yeah,
it seems pretty obvious.
We know,
like
we
it's
know
not
what it
John's
is.
Not subtle.
No, he's not. But so you think that's instilling culture in the children when he said when you allow him to say things like that?
What does this mean? You want to know how I know Lance is a basic B? Is there an answer on this?
Well, look at him. I don't think there's much explanation needed. You look at Lance. You see basic B.
You don't see basic B when you look at me.
Kind of.
No, you don't. Maybe these shoes are kind of basic, but. I can put some different shoes on you, Dale.
Keep your shoes to yourself. When I see you, I think, that's a basic beat.
No. Did Dale just rub his skin to prove a point? Yes, he did.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know. It's a bar car wash in League City.
That's Hugh and Jeff's.
A bar car wash?
You heard him. I've never been there, but this was in response when he was asking us about the UFC fight, underrated mass athlete.
Can't you make car wash? Yeah, car wash is one of those things you could pair with anything.
Yeah. You sit down, you eat, and your car is being washed at the same time. And when you're done eating, your car is waiting for you.
Yeah, you could do car wash, movie theater car wash. Well, when movie theaters used to exist.
They're still open. I went to a movie theater to watch. I forgot what it was.
No one there. I bet it was the best experience
of your life. It was the best experience
ever.
There's no one there.
What did you watch?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
Are there real movies out right now?
Well, they're doing
everything's getting released on Hulu.
They're doing the whole dual thing where they'll have it as a... I forgot what they're calling it, but like Amazon Prime, you can have the movie, you can go to see it in the theaters, or they provide access for it through Amazon Prime. I don't remember what movie I saw, but I went to go see it in the theater. It was maybe a month or two ago. It was great. No one in the building. Not great for the theater.
No.
But they were happy to see me.
I bet they were.
Yeah.
Did they cater to you?
No.
Sir, is there anything we can get you, sir?
Would you like a hot towel?
Here's what I would say. Like, can y'all bring me some? I'm going to be in theater 3.
You know.
Bring me those nachos and stuff. I'll just give you some cash when you come over.
I know you guys don't normally do that, but what else are you doing? You guys just got a lot of people standing around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Can you bring me my food?
I don't have anything else going on. You can give me full. You can give me seat service. I know that's not one of these theaters, but you might as well now. Let me talk about, I'm going to break it here. Don't forget, 8:30. You might want to call around because Freaky Deaky's rules of the side piece game are coming up. And even if you do not condone it, once again, I do not condone it. However, I am entertained by it. I'm not going to lie. It is clever, it's well done, and it is worth your time.
But it's been unopposed, and that's changing. So
that's changing. There is going to be a female viewpoint.
Correct.
So unless she gets scared and backs out.
She doesn't seem like the person to get scared.
What name is she using? What's her name?
Well, she said we can call her.
Clarice?
That show came out last night. What's it called? I forgot what the Silence of the Lambs spinoff.
Yeah.
No, she's not going by Clarice. But she said we could use her regular, her real name, but I decided I'm going to call her Molly.
Oh,
to protect
okay.
the innocent.
Yeah. We'll
There's
call her
a,
Molly.
Related note. Okay. And NFL news that I can.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, okay,
the
good.
Other side.
Good. Hey, I do want to tell you guys that it's really crunch time. You know what Sunday is going to be. It's Valentine's Day. And it's really a chance for you to either drop the ball or be a hero. We know that there's no two ways about it. If you don't do enough, you can get in a lot of trouble with girlfriend, wife. If you do too much, there's no such thing as doing too much. But if you do what you should do, or if you go over the top with it, you know, that's going to benefit you. It will benefit you in so many different ways. And I want to tell you about something he's got going on right now. Yeah, he's got it all. He's got the rings, the pendants, the bracelets, the earrings. He can do, you'll see individual designs in there that are very unique and special and things that are going to, I think, really pop for her. But I want to make sure that you know that he's got a Valentine's Day basket available. And this is a can't miss. It's got a diamond heart pendant, Valentine's Day bear, candy. There's a card. There's a scented candle, hopefully not from Gwyneth. And then one dozen roses, and that's all for $449. Is one stop and you're done. You knock it out, and you get a sweet basket full of everything that she's going to love. And you can do that when you call Mark Klein at 832-316-1388, or just go by the website at kleinsjewelry.com. That's kleinsjewelry.com. Do it today before Valentine's Day hits on Sunday.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.817 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, Del Ola. You guys can jump in, 713-780-3776. We'll find you on Twitter as well if you text us, at Lance Zierlein, at Del V2, at Tyler...
Drew Scott. At Tyler,
yeah,
Drew Scott.
I always want to say Tyler Cito. Candyman asks this about the Rockets. I think this is a pretty good point that he brings up. He said, to your point, I think people underestimate how James Harden could slow down a game. With his trips to the free throw line, getting points without using the clock and slowing the other team's transition game allowed Rockets to get back into games. That's actually a really good point. That's just basic math, is when you're scoring points with the clock not moving, you do have more possessions on the way. And when you don't have the same amount of possessions, obviously you're going to, it's going to be harder to score or to make those big comebacks. So, there are going to be some ancillary benefits. I'm sure the analytics people will tell you exactly where it lies, but there is definitely going to be disadvantages to not having James in your lineup that we haven't even thought of from an analytics standpoint. And that's a great point right there, is you're scoring without the clock moving. And James, we know that the Rockets got to the free throw line, I want to say like 20 times yesterday, maybe. James could get there 18 by himself. That wasn't even that big of a deal.
And we saw a mini version of that on the other side. Jimmy Butler controlled the game, stopping runs for the Rockets when the Rockets were actually leading in that first half by getting to the line. Free throw here, draw foul here. Not that the Rockets play at such a fast pace that he had to worry about it, but when they were looking for points as the Rockets were extending the lead, Jimmy Butler would draw a foul, get to the line, penetrate and get a guy another shot. So he's not the player that James is in that regard, but you saw what that type of player does last night in not a well-played game per se, but it was just, hey, my team's struggling. What do I need to do? A little lean in here to get the call, and I'm at the line. And all of a sudden, that 10-point lead the Rockets had was down the four. P.J. Tucker did make a three to extend it to six, and that was the last pretty much positive thing the Rockets did, because that third quarter, as Heat fans like to say, was on the Rockets' side. 28-10, they lose that game. So that's four in a row for them, and now they have to ask themselves, at least we have to ask, will P.J. Tucker play in the next game? Will Oladipo play in the next game? Which will be a consistent theme throughout the year. Who will be available to play? and who won't be because of rest or injury.
And don't forget, it needs to be noted, the Rockets hang on to their draft pick if it's inside the top four.
Hmm.
I'm not saying there's any, I mean, everyone's playing. They just are losing. Other than Christian Wood, everyone played yesterday. But at some point, if it keeps going sideways, I could see Oladipo moved out. I could see P.J. Tucker moved out. Go young, as we like to say. Go with the younger talent. Let them develop where wins and losses don't matter as much. All the key buzzwords are being dropped in here, the phrases. And then, I don't know, if you finish in the bottom four and you keep your draft pick, then so be it.
What does Oladipo bring if you're trading him and you're not going to let the expiring contract do its work?
Oh, an expiring contract.
True, but if you're looking to move him for
six man,
because you don't, let's say the Rockets are still not a free agent destination, which Daryl Morey brought to the table because he couldn't get guys and he had to trade for them for the most part. What's the value of the 21, whatever his contract will bring, if you can't acquire someone? You would have to acquire someone on the come up like Christian Wood, a person who you sell on the opportunity to be a star here.
So how many teams, I know the Rockets used to do this a ton. I don't know how many other teams stash international players. You could trade for an international player who's overseas, so you're not actually getting hit by, you're not getting hit by a player. Maybe you have to take something back from a financial standpoint and get maybe you get a second round pick. My point would just be, look, we're not really going to ask for anything. You get to take on the rest of this contract. You get a guy who can be a sixth man for you. Or you get a come-up player or a couple that you bet on that the other team doesn't like as much, and they just want to, get rid of a couple of contracts. And it may be somebody who's a rookie or a second-year player who has been disappointing, and you get rid of a contract by taking on Oladipo. It rolls off your books. But for the Rockets, what it could mean is going younger, even younger, Now, I'll say it out loud if you want. Maybe make it harder to win on a consistent basis.
The Rockets have a weird...
They've never been that.
Yeah, the Rockets have a weird roster when you're trying to determine their future because you have guys like Eric Gordon and John Wall under contract who aren't top players at their position and to be fair, overpaid for what they provide on the night-to-night basis. And I mean, I guess you can get off of Eric Gordon. How do you get off of John Wall without giving up some of the picks you've just acquired through trades this offseason? I don't think that's the plan. So if you are you trying to be a developmental team for the next couple of years until your contract situations kind of work themselves out where you can actually make a run at a guy or two if you can attract them to this team in the city? Or are you our team trying to be the sixth or seventh seed in the playoffs? And you're going to overpay possibly for an upcoming free agent. I don't know what their future is, what their plan is. I guess that might be decided by what they do with Oladipo. Do they trade him before the trade deadline for pieces that are still under contract but young pieces that you can develop, or do you just let it expire and see what happens? I don't know. The Rockets' future is, I mean, as much as much praise as Rafael Stone has gotten for acquiring picks, and even an Oladipo trade was pretty much roundly applauded. I have my questions about acquiring this player. What do they do going forward? What do they want to be? Because what they have isn't clearly not good enough.
No. Do you think they have an idea?
I don't know. They probably are banking on the Brooklyn picks, but that is years away now.
But right now you're in a learning. I think you're still learning what you have. Like what you've learned is that Christian Wood is even better than you thought when you gave him money as a projectable talent based on last year. You know that you hit there. I think right now they're just really trying to learn about Jayshon Tate. You know what, John? You're hoping to let's see if John Wall can stay healthy. Okay, John Wall's always going to be a guy who's out. Now you're just trying to fade his contract. Boogie Cousins, you see what he is. He's a hit or miss, feast or famine player who lost his explosiveness. He is that's not changing. That's not going to change with more age. He is just a guy who will be in the annals of Rockets history. He'll be in there with other players with Walt Williams and stuff like that, who played on other teams and they end up being Rockets, and Mike Woodson. You don't really think about them at all. And then, I think other than that, you are just basically trying to see, okay, let's see what happens with Turner. Let's see what happens with Kenyon Martin Jr. Let's see what happens with Tate. Let's see what happens with anybody who is a younger player. Victor Oladipo is the very essence of what the Rockets are doing. let's see what he is and make a decision if we want to try to keep him for next year or let him roll off. And right now, you know, it's looking more and more like they will let him just roll off either through trade or through free agency because he's really not playing that well. He doesn't look like a guy you really want to have as one of your three core, your core three. And if that's the case, you know, this was a big extended tryout for him. I think that's where they are. I think they're in tryout mode, Dell, and they want to see who are young guys we can build around. You can't change everything. You can't redo a whole roster in a year.
Not in one season, no. It's funny, their best young players are 25 years old. It's not like they're like Christian Wood's been around long enough to be 25 and also
he's been around longer than you think.
Jason Tate is 25 years old too. I mean Daniel House
25?
Yes. Daniel House is 27. So Christian Wood would fly in the face of what I'm about to say because you would think at 25 years old you are what you are, but he appears to be a guy who just didn't get enough opportunities in terms of Christian Wood. But what can Jason Tate become at 25? Has it simply been about lack of opportunities and he's going to explode as a player and become a legitimate rotation piece at 25 years old? It's possible, but he's maybe only a rotation piece because he's on the Rockets right now. If he was on a better team, would he be playing as much as he is? I have my doubts. And Daniel House is a guy who you never know what you get. And I think the great hope for Daniel House may be over. He's 27. What is Daniel House going to be? I mean, it's one night. He was 3-for-13, 1-for-9-for-3, but you have those nights, and I don't know. I don't know what he is for the future. He might not be a Rocket next year. So they're a team in flux. A lot more questions than answers. They're just a team that's not young. They're not old.
They feel young, but they're not. They're not really.
There's no real. I don't know if there's
25 still young. No, if your star player is 25,
certainly. As far as Christian Wood becomes the guy we expect, that's a legit piece you can have for the next 7-8 years. But as far as you're looking at development, PJ Tucker's still playing.
Not young.
A lot of minutes.
E.G. not young.
No.
John Wall not young.
There are plenty of guys on this roster who are done as far as getting better. In fact, you're looking at more decline than getting better. So they're a team that's kind of stuck in this weird middle. And I think...
Are they in 1986 if this were dark, the show?
You're making a reference four people get.
Yeah, it's way too... Yeah, that's a show on... It's a time travel show.
Yes.
But it is older. There's three versions of everyone's self, and I would say they're not on their – oh, well, P.J. Tucker might be on his old version. I think P.J. Tucker is his old version right now.
Mm-hmm.
He can go back and try to change time all he wants. Not happening.
No.
But, yeah, so when you look at it, who are the Rockets? Well, the Rockets are a couple of young guys and a bunch of draft picks. And right now they're just fielding a team, and they want to do the best they can, and they want to be – you know, they want to give you something that you can cheer for and all that stuff. But the reality is, this is not who they're going to be. And we won't see who they're going to be for 2 years.
And really, their most valuable asset outside of Christian Wood are draft picks that won't be a thing until Christian Wood's like 28.
Remember, it's every other year, by the way.
Yeah.
Your draft picks are, you have a chance to draft switch, but your draft picks and from New Jersey, like even if they're not a good Jersey team, they're going to be better than you. So remember, you don't have back-to-back, you know, boom, 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 boom draft picks. You have a draft pick every other year that you're getting from a team.
It is pretty interesting that the best case scenario is the Nets fall off the face of the earth in 2 years because things don't work out and all those guys leave, and that is when Christian Wood becomes a free agent. So we're going to get really good draft picks because the Nets aren't going to be good in 3 or 4 years is the time you're going to have to make a decision on whether you're going to pay Christian Wood, or maybe he decides, I want to leave to go win a title. So that's a long ways away. Right now, you're just trying to get through a year and be competitive, and hopefully your guys stay on the court. But up next, something fun, as opposed to this mid-Rockets basketball team we're talking about.
Philandering.
Well, I guess...
Oh, I mean...
No, well, it is philandering. At its base, it is philandering.
So the rules of the game as it comes to side chicks, side pieces, the side piece day, the side chick day, it's Valentine's Day, and what you're going to find out is there are rules to the main chick and the side chick. I didn't say I condoned it. We here at Gal Communications don't condone it, but it is a public service information that is, it's a PSA that comes out every year, and every year there's a little different version of it. This year there's some different with COVID. Of course, with this weather coming up this weekend, but we also have a rebuttal for the first time from an alleged...
No, she has said, I am not a side chick, but I will speak for them.
She will speak. So they have a conduit. Have There's a conduit to the side chick.
Yeah, the side chick lobby.
Side chick lobby. A lobbyist for the side chick.
Yes, joins us
will join
as well.
Us as well. 8:30 right here on the bench.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so it's 8:34. Valentine's Day is coming up this Sunday. We know that's a really, I think it's fair to say it's a bigger day for the ladies than the men. I think that's a pretty fair thing to say. I think it's also fair to say that it is something that could get you bonus points or in a lot of trouble depending on how you treat it. Now, we talk about that with ads for Klein's and Rose Places and other things like that. But for some people and in some circles, it's a little more complicated than just that. So every year, there is a public service announcement that is made. For those of you who have stickier situations than I have, Dell, there's nothing there. That's just a word, stickier situation.
No, I'm just laughing at the use of sticky situation. You know, you mean something you've created for yourself? Not you, prick, yeah. But the usted.
Correct.
You put yourself
correct.
In a pickle.
Yeah. Correct. You're in a little bit of a pickle. Or it could be. And what Freaky Deaky does every year is helps you avoid said pickles, avoid the speed bumps, the road bumps, the detours, the problems. And so we bring him in right now. It's his rules of the game as it pertains to side chicks, side pieces. This is, you know, if it pertains to you. If not, you know, you can just listen to it and pass it along off the podcast. But this year, Freaky Deaky, I know it's a little different because we got a lot of different stuff going on this weekend. We've got COVID. There's weather concerns and issues. So what I'm going to do, as I always do, is I'm just going to turn it over to you. This is not a Q&A. However, we do have someone who is a lobbyist. We're calling her a lobby for the side chicks who wants to respond after you're done. But I think it's important we have your words and your message unfettered. So without further ado, here is Freaky Deaky with his rules of the game.
Man, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? It's straight out of Houston, straight out of the south side of Houston. It's going down. It's, you know, it's Freaky Deaky. It's the Friday before Valentine's Day. And I got to put boys up on game again. You know, this year has been different. It's been the side piece versus COVID. So if you've been stuck in the quarantine 9 times out of 10, you're stuck in the quarantine with your main piece. So your side piece getting kind of neglected. And that's not a bad thing, because what that does, that creates distance. And when you create distance, you allow for your side piece to understand her actual role in this relationship. When COVID hit, it screwed things up. You know, you used to be able to be here and be there and slide off and slide to your little duck off. You can't slide to your duck off because why? Your duck off is closed. You can't go to the movies on the other side of town. Why? Because your movies are closed. So you really, really got to get creative with this. So the side chick is sitting over there with a teeth clenched all tight because she can't get no action from her main dude. And the main chick is sitting at home wondering, why this dude got a funny look on his face? He got a funny look on his face because his girlfriend is pissed off and he got to deal with his wife. So when you're dealing with this and dealing with COVID and dealing with your side piece, in order to protect your family, you got to put your side piece on hold, because you can't be quarantined in the house and then go get a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk and bring COVID back to your house that you done got from your side piece, because your side piece probably works some essential job, which is AKA expendable. So she bringing the virus in and out of her house all day, every day. So you can't take it to your house, so your side piece kind of stuff. Now, a lot of women just found out during COVID that they are the actual side piece. Why? Because you're not getting that action. You thought you were just girlfriend number two or another main chick, but really, you're the side piece. How do you know that you're a side piece? Because I heard Dale ask yesterday, what constitutes a side piece? How does she know she's a side piece? If you're only getting calls and texts between the hours of 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock, you might be the side piece. If the weekend rolls around and you see your guy on Thursday and don't hear from him again until Monday, guess what, little mama? You are the side piece. Know your role and shut your damn mouth. If, by chance, you call your dude 3 times in a row and you get sent the voicemail and it's after 7 o'clock, guess what? You're the side piece because he's with his family at that point. So don't get all jumpy and don't get all, you know, outside yourself because this is who you are. This is your role. And then to you fellas who trying to maintain a side piece and a main kid, be sure you have a line of demarcation marked in the sand because if you let that side piece jump on the main side, on the main side line of the line, you're in a world of trouble. Quit giving these side pieces main chick love. You're screwing up the game. You're muddying the water. The side piece only gets a couple of things out of you. There's some good wood, a couple of laughs, and a number one from Whataburger or McDonald's every now and again. And if you want to just stretch out with it, you know, you might slide into a late night happy hour because you're out with your fellas and you say, hey, baby, I'm at Carol's for a couple of hours. Why don't you come through? Check out a couple of $3, $4 drinks on her. Take her around the corner to Sweetie's. Get the room with the triple pole and a hot tub in it. Give her about 3 hours and send her on her way. That's how you maintain side piece action. But you cats out here now are screwing up the game because you got a little new money in your pocket and you want to just kind of trick off on her a little bit. Buy her a purse. Buy her a necklace. Get her a little ring, a bracelet on her finger. And some of you suckers have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to fly your chick somewhere else for a vacation. Soon as you take her to Vegas, soon as you take her to Miami, soon as you take her to Chicago, guess what? That trip is in love. And you have, again, screwed up what you set up. Now you're going to have to maintain that. Why? Because you don't know if she's going to call your main chick. You don't know if she's going to send out that mystery email. You don't even know that she videotapes you sleep next to her in the hotel room. See, you're screwing up the game. And when you start screwing up the game, you screw it up for other people, like me. I know how to maintain the side piece. I maintain the side piece from time to time. And all things are hunky-dory. But I done screwed it up from time to time, too. So I know. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. So if you want to keep it pimping and keep it easy and keep it greasy, keep your side chick on the side chick side of the line. Every now and then, you got to give that side piece a cold shoulder. When she's calling you, she got issues, she got to stop that and be like, hey, let me call you back. You just got to let her know. The cold shoulder is mandatory when maintaining your side piece action because you never want her to think or believe that she gets main chick privilege. Any questions? I could go on, but I want to take some questions so I can make sure that cats are getting it this morning.
Yeah,
that
no,
weekend
that's...
is going to be very, 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 very peculiar because we're in what they like to call polar vortex 2021. You know how the weatherman does it. So Valentine's still sitting on the weekend. Last year it was on a Saturday. Year before that it was on a Friday. Guess what your date will probably be this year, side chick? You guessed it, Wednesday. Why? Because it's going to be ice on the ground. We're not going to risk it all just so you won't be pissed off because you didn't see me the day after Valentine's, the day you normally see me. Because why? You're not going to see me today. You're not going to see me tomorrow because you don't get first dibs at the Valentine Woods. You get leftovers. So all you cats that's thinking about, oh, I need to see my side chick today or tomorrow. Nah, you're screwing up the game, bro. Because then you're going to give your main piece leftover wood because you didn't get your side piece that first round action. That's not how this goes. Side piece gets second, third round action. This year, it has to be wins because you got to keep it safe. You got to stay off these highways. So dig into your main chick. She's going to fall so fuzzy, deep in love with you that it's going to be good for you. But you can't see your side chick till wins.
Freaky Deaky, we have, I'd like for you to sit on hold for just 1 second because we have something that's never happened before. A lobby for the side chick, not a side chick herself, but no. She is a lobbyist and a conduit and a and a speaker for them.
Yeah, and I want to set this up because the premise from Freaky Dicky, if you listen, is the side chick is always trying to climb up to be the main chick. And I wonder if this lobbyist may say that maybe that's not the goal for the side chick. Maybe they're more than happy to be the side chick because of the benefits that Freaky Dicky is suggesting.
Oh,
they
so
shouldn't
it's
be getting.
Maybe a different angle than he's given.
Yeah, that may be the case. Okay. So we're going to welcome, let's call her Holly. Actually, she said just call her Holly. So I was going to to the show.
I was going to say, you know what you just said?
Yeah, she told us it was fine. Hey, welcome to the show, Holly.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was like, you might as well just say my name. The listeners are already going to know.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we'll just let you go here and say what you got to say, and then we may have some interaction. So go ahead. You just heard that.
Well,
what are your responses?
Okay, so I'm speaking on behalf of side chicks that I know. I am not a side chick, but it's a new era, and the side chicks don't care to be your main chick. They like being a side chick because they don't have to deal with you. They don't really like you like that. They're just there for the money. Because now you have to pay your side chicks nowadays. Because everybody, because of social media and everything, they'll flip the script and they'll expose you. So most side chicks are just there for the money and the benefits that they get. They don't really care about you, and they don't want to be the main girl. Because then they have to deal with your drama.
Wow. That was a lot. That kind of hurt me. Like,
did it hurt?
I don't even have side. That's not even. But I heard it, and I'm like, wow, that's
so hot.
That stings. That hurts.
Let's call you Holly. are you suggesting that the men who are involved in these interactions have a higher opinion of themselves and are naive to the fact that the side chick isn't really all about them?
Absolutely. They really think way too highly of themselves. They need to calm down and bring themselves back down to earth because the woman is just there for what's in your pocket. If she wanted to be a main chick, I'm pretty sure she could. And I'm not sure what type of, what he's talking about sounds like Five and Below.
Oof.
So that's what type of chick, side chicks that sounds like.
Okay.
Because those hot Instagram chicks and stuff, their bodies are paid for by their man, their fake man, whatever you guys want to call them.
He just sent a gift.
So.
The Shannon, hold on. We'll put you, we'll leave you up. Can you leave both of them up here now, Tyler? We have to go through break here. We'll have to combine breaks. It's just too much. Yeah, there's just too much important stuff happening now. That's the first time I've heard a comeback like that. Now, I think it does raise a question for me. There are clearly levels of the side chick.
Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, there's the fives or whatever.
I don't think the women she's talking about are going to be down with the value meal that Freaky Dicky is suggesting.
Freaky Dicky, no.
Or the happy hour.
Do you think you're talking about the same people? Because you know what Instagram models are about, too. Do you consider them side? Are y'all talking about the same thing right now?
No. We're definitely not talking about the same thing. She's talking about sugar daddy. And I don't deal in sugar daddy action. Either you this side chick and you're going to get this number one in this wood, or you're not going to get anything at all. See, I'm not out here.
But why would somebody want to be a side piece just to deal with a man?
Hey, I'm not a woman. I don't know. But I do know that there are some side pieces out here.
Hold on, we need a moderator.
Hold on. I'm the moderator. I'm not going to let this.
If I got to be Anderson Cooper, I will.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk over each other here.
So what you fail to realize is that most real players in the game, we're not scouring or trolling the Instagram and social media streets trying to find the next hottest Instagram model. That's where they have the game messed up. I can find an Instagram model and not even be on Instagram, and she's going to fall in love with the fact that she's going to be my side chick, and I'm not paying her for it. See, because she has a sugar daddy. See, when I come in, I'm taking the sugar daddy money, too. See, that's where this, you have to have levels to this. One thing about having a side piece, this is equivalent to the pimping game, and pimps and sugar daddies are not the same thing, Mom.
Let's get Holly back in for her rebuttal to all of that.
Okay, so I just think it's 2021 now, and it's really hard to find somebody that I think he's talking about because times have changed and everything's about money now. So if you want a woman to keep hush and keep your secrets and be quiet, you're going to have to pay for her to do that. No woman is just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, you can just come hang out with me whenever and sleep with me and there's no benefits out of it.
Mm.
That's I don't know anybody like that.
Once again, to protect the innocent, we'll call her Holly. Are you suggesting that the wood and the and the one that he, is not enough to keep a woman quiet, or the wood, the overstatement of the effect of the wood is high, is not a thing?
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I think it's less, like, it's more like rare that you catch that now because of the times we're in and how there's a certain expectation now on when you say a side chick. Now there's expectations. Now the side chick expects more. They don't necessarily want your time, but if they're going to keep your secrets, they want to be pampered.
Freaky Deaky, now, she made the claim that you're talking about fives or below. Are you, are the women you are talking about in your interactions fives or below?
No, by no means, because the goal is to get you a side piece that has a job and that is not just waiting on me to drop a bag every time I come through. If I want to pick up a hooker, I'm not paying the hooker to come. I'm paying the hooker to go and to shut them out. So if that's what is needed, you're not going to even be in this lane, because the side piece that I need has a 9-to-5. The side piece I have has other interests, has hobbies, and she does things. And she understands that she's Wednesday. I don't even have to call her by her name, because when I hit her on Wednesday, she knows what it is. So, no, I don't have to pay the side chick because she's holding my secret. She's around me because she wants to be around me. The first time I have an inkling that she's going to get squirrely, she's not around me anymore. So you have to know your audience. You have to know who you, the pool that you're fishing in. So the ones that want that bread and the ones that feel like they need to be pampered, those are sugar babies. I don't need
okay.
that.
I can see where.
I got a sugar baby at home. I got a sugar baby that I'm taking care of at home.
Oh.
My main chick is my sugar. My main chick is my sugar baby. That's who gets all the bags, the trips, the jewelry, the money, the fine dining.
Now, Holly,
I do that to my main chick.
Let me jump in real quick, Holly. We have seen that happen, too, where, and it happens often, where the sugar, where the sugar baby wants to eventually marry the sugar daddy. That happens, too.
Yeah. I mean,
for benefits.
Happen, but I just feel like the side chicks that I do know, they don't really care about the dude that they're, the married dude or the dude that's in a relationship and they're the side chick. They're okay with that. And they do have their own hobbies too, and they do work. But if somebody else is like, if you want to sleep with them and you want them to keep your secret, then you're going to put out a little bit more than just sex.
I'm just going to throw a word.
Those are hoes.
Well, let's be real. What is
This is the lane. Okay, let me break it down for you. You got your main chick, you got your side piece, and then you got your hoe. Those are the hoes. Sorry. Your friends are hoes.
I mean, personally, me, I feel like if you're sleeping around with somebody that's already in a relationship or already is married, then you are a hoe. A side piece is a hoe to me. Ooh. You just have paid side pieces, and then the ones you talk about that I don't know where they come from, but that do stuff for free.
Holly,
let me ask Holly one more question, because the thought is that the main goal of the side chick, the come up, is to find whether it be a baller to marry or just a businessman that they find and elevate themselves from side chick to wife, and that's the dream. Is that still the dream, or is that a male perspective that's really played out?
I think that it's getting more and more played out, just because, like I said, you guys, I don't know, it sounds stupid, but because of the time, since everything's expected, the time we're in now, like, they've kind of given up on those goals, because you're like, whatever, might as well not shoot for that. I mean, I could just keep getting paid. I don't need to really necessarily be the wife. Yeah, that would be nice and a bonus, but I don't think that's ultimately the goal anymore. I think that people are just trying to build their bank accounts.
All right, this has been
informative.
We have to break it there. We got some breaking news that we want to get to, but this was Holly. Thank you so much, Freaky Deaky, as always. Very interesting. I feel like they kind of.
I feel like
perfectly over. Under. I mean,
both
intersect.
Both of these individuals
different things.
Both of these individuals are talking about a different type of person.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe that's the case. We thank them both for joining us, and I feel like bringing Holly to protect the innocent. We'll call her Holly.
Yeah.
was my best idea yet.
Yeah, I think that was a really good idea. I think that was a really good idea. And Freaky Deaky, in case you didn't know, you can't just step sideways to him.
Yeah.
He's...
And my favorite line is that she suggested that he's dealing with fives or worse.
Uh-huh. And then he said, your friends are hoes.
Yes. Those are the two lines of the day for me.
Somebody else said, I've never heard a line of demarcation and side chick in the same sentence before.
But it was great.
And yet it was in there. And unmitigated gall was another phrase that he used.
That is something.
The unmitigated gall.
That was something I was surprised by.
Yeah. Line of demarcation followed by unmitigated gall was pretty strong. So we got a lot to talk about coming up here. Well, we'll do it until we get to the break. J.J. Watt has just been released. J.J. Watt is dead as a Houston Texan, but he will live on with another team.
We got Tyler put that in our ear, and we got that report from someone else who texted us like, hey, J.J. Watt's gone. I was like, still not more entertaining than what we were doing.
No. It's bigger news. It's not more entertaining.
And it's not as fun.
No, the Texans released J.J. Watt, according to a source via
Rappaport.
Via Ian Rappaport. So this is officially the Texans dropping some salary cap space that needed to be dropped. J.J. clearly has game left. They did not try to trade them, or maybe they did and there were no takers. Me personally, I would have tried to move J.J. There is no salary cap hit that they would have taken. They could have dumped J.J. Watt and maybe picked up a draft pick. I would have done that. But then again, what happens in the NFL is if teams smell blood in the water, what they'll do is they just basically go to the agent and try to start pining to the agent, we want J.J. When he gets cut. Like, if they sense that a guy is going to get cut, then teams will let – because what's going to happen now is J.J. could pass through waivers and a new team could pick him up. Actually, he's an unrestricted free agent, so it doesn't matter, but J.J. is going to basically go do a new contract with the team. I would say Pittsburgh Steelers and Green Bay Packers are your two teams to watch. But that's why I would have been shopping him for a draft pick there. But if teams wouldn't give you anything, then I mean, I would have taken a fourth for J.J.
It's like the Reddit Wall Street subreddit, knowing, like, they're manipulating the market.
Yeah.
They're saying we don't want to trade him. We'll just wait till he gets cut.
Yeah. Teams are always like that. If they sense a player is going to get cut, they won't give you anything for it. They'll just try to position themselves via, you know, for the free agent. They just look at him as a free agent. And so if somebody else wants to give up a draft pick for that, go ahead. But teams get a little stingy with draft picks around this time because they know they got to build themselves. And if you give up a let's say, a second-round pick for a guy who has injury issues in his background and may only be a two. The Texans did that under Bill O'Brien, give up second-round picks and third-round picks for two-year players. That's not something other NFL, like real NFL teams don't do that. Real NFL personnel people, if you give up a second or a third, you expect that player to be with you for more than just Gary and Conley, 2 years. So, 8:56 here on the bench. When we come back, we will get into what this means for the Texans now as they lose another core player, but they also shave money off of their salary cap. So, where do they stand now cap-wise? What's the next step in the offseason? Does this make Deshaun Watson even less likely to come back, or does it even matter? 8:56 right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5.